This morning we're going to begin a brief series leading up to Thanksgiving, just calling it a season of thanks. It's hard to believe Thanksgiving is a couple weeks away. Then there's Christmas, and then there's New Year's. And some of you, I don't know if you've done it, but some of my friends have apparently already put up Christmas trees and things. And God bless you. I mean, I can't even hardly think about Thanksgiving, getting all the logistics ready for our friends who are coming, family. So, but it's just, I love the rhythms of the seasons. And it's this time every year that our nation pauses to give thanks. From history.com. This is not a theological website. History.com says, Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday in the United States, and Thanksgiving 2020 occurs on Thursday, November 26. In 1621, the Plymouth colonists and Native Americans shared in an autumn harvest feast, which is acknowledged today as one of the first Thanksgiving celebrations in the colonies. For more than two centuries, days of Thanksgiving were celebrated by individual colonies and states. It wasn't until 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, that President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national Thanksgiving Day to be held each November. So there's kind of the origin, and we'll probably throw in some other tidbits as we go along the way about the history of Thanksgiving. But obviously, giving thanks is older than our nation. It's as old as God's people who worship their God. It's been quite a year. How's that for the understatement, you know, of the day? As I prepared the series, I'm not oblivious to the facts of a pandemic. Riots in the streets, economic challenges, health issues, a contested presidential election, yada, yada. I'm also Not unaware of personal issues. This has been a year my family's had to deal with personal issues. I'm aware of some of your personal issues that you've had to be aware of. So when I say be grateful, I am not trying to do this pie in the sky, ignore everything attitude. If I opened it up and said, let's have a complaining service, I have this feeling stuff would come out right away. I mean, blah, this is what I'm upset about. This is what I'm... Blah. And, but if I ask, what are you thankful for? Many of you would just kind of clam up and not say much. I don't know. You may be given the opportunity in a minute to prove me wrong. So, First Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What's God's will for my life? Well, that's sometimes fuzzy. We don't always know, and usually it has to do with some big choice we have to make. But this is clear. It is God's will for you and I to give thanks in every circumstance. That's God's will. So, being told to rejoice always, giving thanks not for, but in circumstances, we're going to go to a short psalm, the shortest psalm, the shortest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 117. It goes like this. Praise the Lord, all nations. Glorify Him, all peoples, for His faithful love to us is great. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Hallelujah. That's it. That's the psalm. It's just a little bit bigger than Jesus wept. I mean, just a little bit. So we're going to look at this beautiful psalm this morning and think about God's faithfulness. Spurgeon's Treasury of David, which expounds on every psalm, says this. This psalm, which is very little in its letter, is exceedingly large in its spirit. Bursting beyond all bounds of race or nationality, it calls upon all mankind to praise the name of the Lord. In all probability, it was frequently used as a brief hymn suitable for almost every occasion, and especially when the time for worship was short. Perhaps it was also sung at the commencement or the close of the Psalms, like we use the doxology now. It would have served either to open a service or close it. It's both short and sweet. The same divine spirit which expatiates in the 119th. Okay, expatiate means to go on in length and detail. Like Psalm 119 goes on in length and detail. The same divine spirit which expatiates in the 119th here condenses his utterances into two short sentences. It may be worth noting that this is at once the shortest chapter of the Bible and the central portion of the whole Bible. So if you opened up, you probably learned this when you were in Sunday school, if you open up the middle of your Bible, you'll probably come up to about Psalms 119, that's a good chance of that, or Psalms 117, which is actually kind of the middle of the Bible. So today we're going to think about his faithfulness found in these short verses. Number one, his faithfulness prompts missions. Look at verse 1. Praise the Lord, all nations. Glorify Him, all peoples. Stop. Our beautiful psalm issues an invitation for all the nations to praise Him. For all the peoples to give Him glory and honor Him. The same invitation goes out in Romans, by the way. Romans 15, 10 and 11. Again, it says, rejoice you Gentiles with His people. And again, Psalms 117. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples praise Him. Can you imagine a world where every nation, every tribe, every tongue is praising the Lord? The psalmist envisioned that, knew that was the heart of God for all peoples to praise Him, all peoples to worship Him. Sadly, not everyone does. Ron Allen says that praise is a choice, not a feeling. We are not to praise the Lord only when we feel warm and fuzzy, but to praise Him in our most troubled moments, for even during those times, He is still our God. Now, this word nations is really not country like we think of countries. It's really more ethnos. It's more of a people group, an ethnic group, a language group. According to Joshua Project on the internet, they say there's 17,442 people groups in our world today. And according to them, 7,413, 42%, are unreached people groups. In other words, they do not have access to the gospel. So missions must continue until every tribe, every tongue, every language, every color is worshiping the Lord Jesus. John Piper famously said, missions exist because worship doesn't. Those places where worship doesn't exist, missions must go. We must go and share with them and help them understand the invitation the Lord's given them to worship Him and give Him praise and honor. So I'm working on my Thanksgiving list, what I'm thankful for. I will probably share it with you. It's not done. It will not be a work of art. It probably won't rhyme or start with A, B, C, D or anything like that. But I want to share with you what I'm thankful for this year. Here's just a few things. Through October, we have given $25,000 to the cooperative program, which supports 6,500 missionaries domestically and internationally. We've also given $7,400 to the Cape Baptist Association, which does missions locally, and $6,600 to the Lighthouse, among other things. During COVID, we're not done yet. During COVID, we sent a special offering to our Italy partner. You know, you think we've had it rough. Italy was almost destroyed. Those early stages. And we were able to come up with an offering with our church and other churches and send them enough money to pay for their building rent and the pastor's salary for 6 months. The pastor told us that they were going to lose their building. So we were able to do that. And now they're meeting and they're now working to plant another church in an area we have prayer walked. Also, we took up an offering. Actually, we used money we had in the budget. We didn't take up a special offering. We're not going, so we could use some of that money with other churches. There was a church in El Salvador that some of us went to last trip, and everything, because of a tropical storm, everything was destroyed. The pews, the sound equipment, the children's literature and other things were all destroyed. All their Bibles were destroyed. So we took up an offering to send it to them, and now they're meeting and very grateful for what we were able to do in helping them. Our church was the hub for giving away produce boxes for 17 weeks. My goodness, 3,100 produce boxes went out in the name of the Lord, and also raised our reputation. Not that we're trying to raise our reputation in the community. And yesterday we gave out 95-ish, we don't know for sure, we tried to keep track, of Thanksgiving bags. With the Cowboy Church, all these things that I'm mentioning, we did with other churches. We never want to do missions on our own. So he's been faithful in allowing us to pray and give during this pandemic. We must pray that the Lord opens doors and keeps our hearts open to go. So at 8:30, a young man came forward and said he's praying about where to go. I'll just say his name. His name is Joe Norman. I told everybody that. You know, he's already shared with us. He's not here. He was here at 8:30. But he's praying where God would send him. And so he wants the church to be praying. Might be a medical missionary. And so I know I'm only one of a handful of people in the Fruitland area that's praying, God, open up a door for me to get on a plane and go somewhere. I'll go through whatever hoops you need me to go through. They need me to go through. I just want to go. We have to keep our hearts open. But we must love all people groups that are here. I mean, we got to love Filipinos. They're easy to love, by the way, if you just take a minute. They're so easy to love. All they do is want to talk to you and take your picture and eat food with you. That's all they want to do. I'm on YouTube Live. They're wonderful people. That's all they want to do is eat, talk, and take your picture. And they'll verify and laugh with you. And we got to remember internationals who are here at SEMO, Hispanics, African Americans, other people groups. Everybody that's around us needs the gospel. Even so, remember the goal of God's history is not missions. The goal of history is not missions. The goal of history is worship. Here's a snapshot of one day when there will be worship in heaven. No missions in heaven. You don't need missions in heaven, right? Revelation 7, 9 through 11. After this I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated at the throne and to the Lamb." And that's a picture of what's coming. Every nation, every tribe, every ethnic group, every language, every color will be around the throne worshiping the Lord Jesus. His faithfulness prompts mission. Second, his faithfulness prompts recognition. Look at the first part of verse 2. "For his faithful love to us is great. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever." So the psalmist actually gives us motivation for the nations to praise him. Because his faithfulness, his faithful love is great. His faithfulness endures forever. It's simple but profound. We can always thank God this season and every season, regardless of circumstances, because God's faithful love is great. His faithfulness endures forever. So take a moment this season and recognize who He is and how He can be trusted. His love is great. His faithfulness endures forever. My Holman commentary writes this: what follows is a word of explanation of regarding why God should be praised. Here are reasons for such exalted worship. For great is His love toward us. The word great, if you don't mind, I'll give you a little Hebrew study. I won't even tell you what the word is because I just, it doesn't matter. But the Hebrew word means great, represents something that's large, remarkable, distinguished, or superior. The Hebrew word carries a sense of someone or something prevailing over another because of its vast, superior qualities. This magnificent love is toward us. This love endures forever. Love and faithfulness are two attributes of God that should always stimulate and provoke the hearts of God's people to praise Him. His love and faithfulness should provoke us to recognize who He is and to praise Him. Now, if you look up this word in Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word for great means to exceed, confirm, be great, be mighty, prevail, put more strength or strengthen, be valiant. So the psalmist is calling us to recognize this exceedingly large, faithful love, this remarkably mighty, faithful love, this magnificent, prevailing, faithful love, this superior, strengthening, faithful love, this distinguished and valiant, faithful love, this great, great love of God towards us. Thomas Chisholm wrote a poem, and then William Runyon put it to music and became that great hymn. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. Great is Thy faithfulness. Oh, as Thou hast been, Thou hast forever will be. Sorry about that. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hands have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So what do you need to recognize about God this morning, if given the opportunity, and I'm about to give you the opportunity, what are His great faithful attributes that you would like to just say out loud this season of thanks? Would you like to just say a word of recognizing who God is to you and what attribute reminds you of His faithful love towards all of us? Who would start? Mercy. Amen. So I may not remember all that, but for saving Donna's life and for her family and friends who are dear to her, that she might be a prayer warrior for others. What else? Power? Resurrection power. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Compassionate and healing, God. Yes. I'm sorry. Refuge. Thank you, Mackenzie. Faith. All right. Thank you. He carries us through the storms in life. Yes. Yes. I rarely thank God for storms. Just between you and me, but I always thank Him for being there in the storm. Anybody else? We won't drag it on forever. This is your chance. Acceptance. Thank you. So part of worship is recognizing who God is. But also we're called to attribute greatness to Him. Now He's already great. But when we attribute greatness to Him, we are recognizing it and letting others hear us say those great things about our great God. So you don't have to say something here, but at some point you do have to say something out loud that others might hear, that you attribute the greatness of God, His love for you, His faithfulness for you, that never changes. There's not even a shadow of turning from who He is. So I wrote down some things in case I didn't get anything. And you all said something. But here's some more. Even in a year of trials, we can say thank you to God for His exceeding faithfulness, His goodness, His love, His presence, His healing, His provision, His word, His throne room, His mercy and forgiveness, His direction, His promises, His security, His prepared place for us, for all who believe, all that and more. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24 say, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful and will do it." So His faithfulness prompts missions, recognition of who He is, and lastly, prompts praise. Look at the very last word or phrase in our chapter. In the ESV, which I almost always use every Sunday morning, it says, "Praise the Lord." I'm sure, how many versions here say, "Praise the Lord"? Anybody? Okay, all right. I always have more than one Bible open when I'm studying, okay? So I noticed the CSB, which is the newest one out there pretty much, says, "Hallelujah." So I'm using the CSB today for a reason. We are told it's because, the nations are invited to praise the Lord and glorify Him because of God's great love towards us, because of His faithfulness. And as the psalmist reflects on the attributes of the Lord, he doesn't wait for the nations to worship Him. In fact, he doesn't wait for the rocks to cry out. He just bursts out and says, "Hallelujah." He's going to worship. The nations are invited. All of us are to recognize who God is. And He says, "I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting for all to come in. I am going to praise the Lord now. Hallelujah." Now this word "hallelujah" occurs 27 times in the CSB, 23 in the Psalms, and 4 in Revelation. So the two places this word shows up is the Psalms and Revelation. It literally means halal, praise, and Yah, which is short for Yahweh. And so it literally means praise Yahweh or praise the Lord. And so your version may say hallelujah, which is sort of poetic and, I don't know, makes you think of all sorts of musical pieces. Or it may say praise the Lord. They mean the same thing. Let me give you some examples in Scripture. And maybe we just worship these next few minutes listening to these verses. Psalms 106, verse 1, and then verse 46, the beginning and close. "Hallelujah! Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting." Let all the people say, "Amen. Hallelujah." Psalms 150. Notice how it begins and ends. Hallelujah. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His powerful acts. Praise Him for His abundant greatness. Praise Him with the blast of a ram's horn. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and flute. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that prays, that breathes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are other examples in the Psalms, but let's go to Revelation. Time's coming to an end as we know it. There's this incredible time of worship in heaven. Listen as worship is happening in Revelation 19, starting in verse 1. After this, I heard something like the loud voice of a vast multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation, glory, and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous, because He has judged the notorious prostitute who corrupted the earth with her sexual immorality, and has avenged the blood of the servants that was on her hands, the martyrs. A second time they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke ascends forever and ever. Then the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down, worshiped God, and who is seated on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. A voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all His servants, and the ones who fear Him, both small and great. Then I heard something like the voice of a vast multitude, like the sound of cascading waters and the rumbling of loud thunder, saying, Hallelujah! Because our Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad, rejoice, and give Him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The marriage of the Lamb has come. That is what is coming. And so now we practice praising the Lord, don't we? Looking forward to that day when we'll be in His presence. And we just, every tribe, every tongue, every ethnic group will be around the throne saying, Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. John Piper, in his sermon on this text, says, Worship is the fuel and goal in missions. It is the goal of missions because in missions we simply aim to bring the nations into a white-hot employment of God's glory. This is the thrust of the psalm, a passionate plea that all the nations worship God. The driving force behind missions is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus, who is the only way to salvation. If lost sinners are to be brought into the vast multitude of adoring worshipers of God, the gospel must be preached to the end of the earth. May every Christian give his life, prayers, and efforts to this great task of reaching the world for Jesus Christ. But let him do so for the reason set forth in this psalm. Let the church reach the world with the saving gospel of Jesus, so the world may receive the eternal praise of the nations. Sola Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. His faithfulness prompts missions, and so we go. Sometimes we get to go across the ocean. Sometimes we get to go across the street. Sometimes we get to go to the coffee shop and share. But we go, all for the glory of God, because worship is not everywhere. And those places, those pockets of places where there's not worship, people acknowledging and recognizing that God's love is great, that His faithfulness endures forever, need to hear that ultimately His faithfulness was shown, His great love was shown by sending His Son Jesus to die on a cross. That all who would say yes would have eternal life. This is why we are thankful in every season of life, in every circumstance of life, because God's love is great for us, and His love endures forever for the glory of God alone. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You so much for this brief, beautiful, powerful psalm that reminds us that your intent is for everyone to worship you. Your intent is to give for everyone to praise you, to give you glory. And Lord, we know that for the most part, the world is not worshiping you. And so we must go. We must tell them about your great love for them. We must tell them that your faithfulness has been true to us and has endured forever for us, and they must hear that from us. In the midst of everything, we love the way Jesus loved us on the cross, and we've embraced the cross and asked for forgiveness and now follow Jesus. They need to hear that from us. And Lord, we know the world's crazy, and we know it's probably not going to get better. We hope for it. We get disappointed when the world seems to be sliding in a particular direction down. But we know you never change. There's not even a shadow of turning that you've changed. Thou changest not. And we thank you for that. So in the middle of all this, may we pause for a season. And may that season translate into something that happens regularly, maybe every day, where we say we're thankful for blank. Today we say we're thankful for your great love toward us. We are thankful for your faithfulness that endures forever. We're thankful for all the things that were said just a few moments ago out loud by all of us, the church. So Lord, may we just remember to be thankful to you. And thank you for your great love toward us. We think about how while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We didn't deserve it. We think of 1 John that says, we love but because you first loved us. And we just say thank you. And we know that there are times that are tough, and we're about ready to sing a song about in everyday life when things are tough, you hold us fast because you are faithful, because your love is great. Help us to sing that song and worship. We ask all this for the glory of your name.